Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
This is Sweetie Love from Sweetie Friends, and you're listening to I Am Envy on Blog Talk Radio with your host, K-City. Yeah, it's a world movement thing, moving the world with their music. Loving it. Ciao.
If you see me have no going and no, I got your girl riding good. And I like the way she call me baby. And I love the way she answers to you, my lady. And the way she made me feel last night, like an ecstasy feel me with crush right. Yeah, I'm in the club with six racks, bank statements. Where they do that? We pop cases, pay all cash. Little mama racist, she only like black. Cars act hard, hotel room that's amateur. Presidential suite, residential meet, thug stamina. Dudes throwing dollars, tell them up and she's at my door. ABD the shade body like a coke bottle. Someone call the nurse, she got him going berserk. Pass me that cold thing, sir, got me all way. And we got a strong thing, nothing come between, and she freak for the money. I like that though, just cause I beat this one on me, kind of hoe. I keep a nice roll like a bowling ball. Money on the mind, that's why she answer your call. All about them dollar signs, the games at the mall. I'm rolling through the hood, I'm always up to no good. If you see me have no going and no, I got your girl riding wood. And I like the way she call me baby. And I love it when she answers to you, my lady. And the way she made me feel last night, like an ecstasy pill with your purple Sprite. Yeah. She keep me going strong, money going on. Ass out, pass out the way she rock that song. Cause we get it out, not too hot in the club. In the middle of the floor, yeah, I'm a thug. Girl, you know you trouble, feeling on your bubble. I'm trying to stay humble, I wanna play in your jungle. Amazon, beat it up till she stutter like Tourette's. Hover in the Lex, riding at the yes. Pulling panties aside, let me see it get wet. I can't be timid, I ain't no pet. I wanna see your limit, ice on your breast. Nipples on swole, got me standing up. Yeah, I like the hold while I'm giving you that thrust. Girl, arch your back and whisper it's lust. Stallion on the track, no matter how much I grip and I pull, she never get enough. I'm rolling through the hood, I'm always up to no good. If you see me have no going and no, I got your girl riding wood. And I like the way she call me baby. And I love it when she answers to you, my lady. And the way she made me feel last night, like an ecstasy pill, Mr. Purple Sprite. Yeah, boys only guap, gang, only soldiers, die legends. We into everything, whatever ice chain made specifically for us. My wrist game, ride the dummy train and the show bus. Kissing on the beamer, she ride like a diva. Every time I see her, I'm thinking, could I keep her? She just deal with leaders, don't mess with the help. The best way to greet her, introduce this dope. Let the money speak the stealth, goons ride for the wealth. She like pickles, carrots, eating shrimp salad. Like packs of double stacks, pistol minty mac and that. Pimp you ill, you get it back, timid or not. Big balls we got, I'm louder, I'm badder. Her booty moving faster, now I'm finna ask her. Hope you don't got no Anna, listen cause the top is where we aim. You best. I'm rolling through the hood, I'm always up to no good. If you see me have no going and no, I got your girl riding wood. And I like the way she call me baby. And I love it when she answers to you, my lady. And the way she made me feel last night, like an ecstasy pill, Mr. Purple Sprite.
what's up? What's up, everybody? It's your boy, K. Diddy, and you're listening to I Am Indie, brought to you by the good people over there at World Movement Records. We come to you every Wednesday, 2 o'clock, to bless you with the best of the new, unreleased, new, upcoming artists. You know what I'm saying? And hopefully this show is a platform to educate, moderate, mediate. And I would come up with something else, but I'm stupid. Anyway, it's hump day wherever you are, wherever you may be. I hope the Lord is blessing you and giving you the power to do what you do. But on with the show, we have a blazer as usual. We have a very special guest today, a longtime friend of mine, Mr. James Rowe from Rowe Entertainment. He's going to be joining us in 1 second to kind of tell you his experience in the music business and tell you about his spectacular showcase that's been going on for many, many years, the legendary Unlimited Break Talent Show, who has exposed a lot of artists in the business. So let me see, is he with us? Mr. Rowe, you're in the building.
Hey, Lamont, how's it going, my friend?
I am too blessed to be stressed, so I'm trying to get rid of the stress. How you doing today, my brother, and welcome to the show.
Hey, man, it's a pleasure to be here, but as always, I'm hanging tough.
As you should. Man, well, listen, we have the opportunity, man, to touch a lot of artists coming to the business, and I know, you know, gentlemen like yourselves have been around a long, long time and have had the opportunity to touch many up-and-coming artists and give them a platform with your show. But before I have you tell them about that, we're going to introduce James Rowe. Who is James Rowe? And I want you to tell them who you are, basically, how you got started, how you got into business, and all that good stuff, you know, so people can kind of know you and know that you're a solid guy like I know.
Hey, all right. Well, first of all, I want to say that I am James H. Rowe, the H stands for Hardy, and I'm from St. Louis, Missouri, and by way of Mississippi. Came out here in 1979 as a professional fighter and went on to get into the music business, owned a couple of nightclubs and a couple of restaurants, and one thing always led to another thing. I'm always an adventurous person. So somehow I ended back with my first love, which is music. And we are, at this time, the second longest running showcase in America, which is the legendary Unlimited Break Talent Show. And we also have a small, very small record label, nothing like yours, Lamont, but we're going to catch you in due time. But we're always the new style. Oh, yes, my brother.
No, you've already caught me, man. But I want to touch on something real quickly, man, before we, you know, we get down there, too. You know, because we hear a lot of youngsters, man, you know, they always have a tendency to look at the glass as half empty instead of half full. And I just want to say, just kind of reading over, you know, some of your stuff that, you know, your childhood wasn't the most favorable. You had some trying times coming up to help even form who you are, you know what I mean? And, you know, I guess why I'm saying that to say, you know, kids can always find negative things to latch on to, but even though they come from meager beginnings, that does not define who you are and who you can be. Do you agree with that?
Well, I definitely agree with that, Lamont, 100%. You know, my childhood, it was what it was, and it made me who I am today. If a person always look on the positive side of it, and being in my childhood, I always looked at it like yesterday was dead and gone, tomorrow is too far away, today is what I have to deal with, and today doesn't have to be what my tomorrow will be. So, you know, it's always a choice that a person has to make. And if a person is always looking at it from a pessimistic standpoint, then it's going to be, you know, what it is, and it's not going to get any better. If you look at it from an optimistic standpoint and understand that you can take your destiny into your own hands and your faith is in your Lord and your Savior, whomever you choose, you know, you can do all things through God who strengthens us, you know, but you got to have faith in yourself and you got to want to make a change, and nothing has to stay the same, nothing.
Right. And that's just what I wanted to kind of touch on briefly, which to me I think is really what we're trying to do, really what we're about. You know, we're trying to inspire and let people know that you could always do better, you know, you just have to point your foot in the right direction and start moving that way.
Well, you know, most certainly, Lamont, but I want to say this here. Young people have to want to change. But not just young people, but people have to want to change, you know. And I've always said myself, you know, that it starts at a very early age. And we have a responsibility as older people, regardless to who we are. You have to give a kid a dream. You have to give a kid a dream, you know. And that's why it's so easy for people to point to certain types of music, maybe leading kids astray or whatever you may want to say. Well, that's the dream that you put in front of them, you know. But you have to give a kid a dream. So you can put whatever type of music or movies in front of them all day that you want to put in front of them. If you don't give a kid a dream to deviate from this influence that you think that these type of entities are having over them, be it not the type of entity that you want to see a kid with or that a kid may want to be with, then what you have the responsibility to do is to say, hey, check this out. And that's the beginning of a kid having something to reach for. So I always say that we have to give a kid a dream.
Absolutely. I think we may have another gentleman on the phone, a renowned song.
Yes, I'm here.
Mr. Kevin Spencer, everybody, renowned author, songwriter, musician. Well,
I don't think Kevin is there just yet. I don't think Kevin is there.
Yeah, I'm
here. But is he there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
Oh, wait a minute. Let me call back in again.
No, I can hear you, Kevin.
Kevin, he hears you.
Oh, okay.
No, we definitely got you, man. We wouldn't lose you for the world, man.
Oh, man, I've been listening to James.
My big brother. Yeah. That's my big brother, y'all, whom I'm very proud of.
He was bringing the truth, everything that I was listening to. I was more into listening to the show. I almost forgot I was on it.
We can't get you. We can't forget that you on it, man, because we're going to have to hear some of the stuff that you got to say, because, you know, that's what we're all about here. You know, we definitely believe in this each one, teach one philosophy, because if we don't give it to them, how are they going to get it?
No, that's exactly right. You know it. You know, I didn't know anything when I first came into the business services, and I wanted to be in it, and I had, you know, the challenge, God-given challenge. But nobody was pointing me in a direction, but I prayed an awful lot, and I would have to say God directed me to be in the right places at the right time, and I wouldn't even know when I was on my journey to wherever it was I was going. I wouldn't even know who I would see or what was going to happen, but I would just go, and then the doors would open up. I couldn't have written the story myself. It was like, man, I had no idea that was going to happen. I'm meeting this person, that person. They just happened to be going about their lives, and then we cross paths, and then, you know, you step up and you say what you need to say. Right. Introduce yourself, let them know, you know, nobody's got a sign on their back. Nobody knows who you are, you know. You got to step up and you got to be affirmed. You got to be affirmed when somebody asks you, oh, hey, well, you say you do music. Well, are you any good? You know, you don't say something like, oh, yeah, I'm pretty good or I'm all right. You tell them you're great, you know, because why should they meet with you? If you just all right, it's a bunch of people out there that are all right. You know, you... And I got that directly from Norman Whitfield, the legendary Norman Whitfield. I saw him in front of a Mavericks flat one evening. I had gone up there with another friend of mine, Ricky Free Smith, who's with Morris Day right now. He's been his musical director for over 17 years, great bass player. But I went up to Mavericks flat because he wanted to go up there and look at the girls. And what we got here, here's Norman Whitfield standing by his, I think that was a Aston Martin or something, some kind of sports car, fancy sports car that nobody had around in the neighborhood except him. And I went up to him and I got his attention and introduced myself to him. He said, "Yeah, how you doing, young brother?" And he was the one that, when he asked me, he said, "Well, what kind of music are you doing?" I mean, you know, he said, "Are you good?" And I said, "I'm pretty good." And he said, "Pretty good?" And he just looked at me and said, "Don't you ever tell nobody you pretty good." He said, "Why should I have a meeting with you? You're just pretty good." He said, "Look, man, if you want to get anywhere in this business, you tell them you bad." He said, "You tell anybody?" He said, "Yeah, I'm bad. Yeah, I'm great." He said, "Now I want to at least I'll give you a meeting so I can see if any of that's true. Other than that, I can leave you right here on the sidewalk."
Hold on, man. I think we got somebody else that want to join this conversation. 702,
okay.
You on? Hello? 702.
Yo, what's happening? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you loud and clear. I can't see you, but I can hear you. I can smell you, too.
Oh, no. You should be able to see me. How you doing now?
All right. Hell, I'm good.
Good,
welcome.
Good. Yeah, yeah, I was listening to the show. I like what's happening and like what I'm hearing, and being a brother in the entertainment business, I can totally relate to what Brother James is talking about. And,
okay, well, let me do a quick introduction for the people that just joined the show. We have James Rowe on the line, who is our special guest for today from the legendary Unlimited Break Talent Show. And we also have Mr. Kevin Spencer, songwriter extraordinaire that got a whole bunch of hits that he can tell you about himself shortly. And I know this is also my good friend, Mr. J.R. Perry, television radio personality as well.
Yeah. Welcome on, J.R. Yeah, man, I appreciate it, man. Like I said, I like what I'm hearing, and it's refreshing to hear people in the business keeping it 100 and letting folks know their humble beginnings, whatnot. And being in this here entertainment industry, some of these people, they have misconceptions. And I was liking what the fact what you said when you met Norman Whitfield, which was a great brother, because I've happened to work with Rolls Royce, who basically he launched them, and coming out of the Detroit Motown era myself. I was told by some of the great scholars pretty much the same thing that you had said, you know, have some value about yourself, because there's multiple people that are trying to do this thing, and it's all about not just having confidence but being able to back it up, and because in this here business that we're in, there's only so many slots, and everybody trying to get on the top 10. Nobody really looks at people who are on the 100, although that's good. But you definitely want to be on the top 10. And in order to even get there, not only you must have good talent and execution, but, you know, you got to be most definitely confident. Because one thing I've noticed being up in this here business, you know, success can scare you if you ain't prepared for it. So, you know, all the people that's out here trying to pursue their dreams, I would say with brothers like yourself, you're more or less giving them the good format, because you got to have some kind of blueprint. Because one thing about this here business, it's not like any other business, because you don't have like a apprenticeship saying, oh, you're going to get paid $20 an hour. You write your own paycheck here. You know what I'm saying? And with that being said, I just appreciate what you brothers is talking about. And I'm just definitely a fan of this particular show, because it gives people in the industry, as well as independent artists and entrepreneurs, and you know, an outlet. Me being in the radio game, television game, as well as the music game, I understand all perspectives of it. And I sort of get tickled pink when I hear people of your caliber reach out to the layman or to the intermediate or even to some of the pros, because even them, everybody has to be reassured. And kind of each and every year, you got to fortify your drive. So
right.
I appreciate a show of this kind of caliber that can bring great entrepreneurs, great entertainers on that will be able to keep it 100. So when I was listening to what you were saying, Brother James, on one of the greatest songwriters, because there's about 5 or 10 of them that I love, he one of them. Smokey being my mentor, I grew up singing right with him, his nephews, traveled the globe, and being a part of that whole Motown family gave me an opportunity not just to do music, because, you know, music, I got that naturally. It's the business. It's the music businesses, which a lot of talented people really don't understand. They think because they look at the videos and they see the Jay-Z's and all this and that and the other, that that's where they're going to be. Well, it could be, but at the same token, if you understand the business, because this is a business, that's why they call it the music business.
Yes, that's right. It's separate things. They got this, there's the music, and then there's the business.
Exactly. And I was just so grateful to hear people who understand the formula, because there's a formula to the whole game. There's a method to the madness, and most of all, you got to get around individuals to give you that blueprint. I mean, you can stab in the dark, and ain't nothing wrong with that. But the whole thing, most people are in this business to sell units. But and now everybody's independent. Back in the day, we had to go through the major labels and this and that and the other. Now, I guess since the 90s, we don't really need that as much. But people who are trying to be independent, I applaud them, but I would tell them to get around folks like yourself, read, learn this game, understand what the publishing game is all about, understand basically how you really reap your rewards, because there's multiple ways. I get paid doing many things in this entertainment business.
I don't want to cut you short, man, but I want to get back to James real quick so we can find out how did the legendary Unlimited Break talent show get started.
Exactly.
Hey, Lamont, I want to kind of piggyback on something that JR just said there. You know, it's very important. I'm gonna make it very quick, you know.
Oh, no, go ahead. This show is about you, so take your time.
But about the publishing and stuff, you know. And I wish that he would reiterate on that a little bit deeper, you know, because one thing that I get annoyed about is when young people come into my office to do business with me, the first thing that they say is they want to own their publishing. Now, right then and there, that's letting me know that this is not the type of person that I would have a happy working relationship with. You want me to put up all the money to executive produce this thing, do everything, but you are telling me from the door that you want to cut me out. So I think that shows you definitely need to know about your publishing, and you definitely deserve what's coming to you. But these young people today is just as they are. They need to know about their publishing because they come in and they want everything. They want to take and not give anything, but they want you to bankroll everything as a record label or as an executive producer. And I don't think that that's something that we really want to send to the young people, from my point of view, that's in this industry. So you're right, JR. They definitely need to learn the percentages of what do them, because a lot of them, they come from the area of bygone, and some of our great ones that opened the door for us, our iconic one like Little Richard and stuff, you know, back there, the black great artists was, they was done bad, you know, they was robbed, they was cheated and stuff, you know, and some of them have, they present that progression, you know, that, you know, aggression that this is, I wasn't done right. And so watch out for yourself. So, but the young people, they take that and they run with it and they say, well, I want to own all my publishing. I want to own all of this and I want to own all of that. And instead of saying all that's coming to me, they want 100%. What do I get as a person that's putting up some money?
Jay. What's ironic to me is, you know, when I came in, I started my professional, I got my first release in like 1978. That was Take That to the Bank. Shalom.
Exactly.
At that time, and I'm a member of ASCAP, at that time you had to have at least two published works before you could even talk about publishing. Now, the game's changed now.
Yeah, much brother.
But you couldn't even come into it. And even, your mind ain't supposed to be on no publishing. You're supposed to be trying to learn how to write big songs, you know, get it down pat, whatever. It wasn't even about that. You had to come up under a publisher before you could even talk about that. And you had to have, and you had to, you know, show that you wasn't just a one-hit wonder. You had to do it twice.
Thank you.
Right.
You know, so yeah, now I see it. I see what you're saying, and this is why I'm kind of excited to hear, you know, Brother Kevin Spencer, who's one of the great hit writers, you know what I'm saying, which people, these young kids don't understand, the whole thing of songwriting. You're a songwriter, so you're going to get your songwriting monies. But when you start talking publishing, then that's an administration gig. You don't understand admin. So how are you going to be able to? And then it's a collection game. How are you going to collect your money?
There you have it. And that's what I'm speaking on. Somebody has to manage it, and somebody has to administrate it. You see what I'm saying? You know, and that's the point that I'm saying, because young people, when they come into the business, you know, they already got somebody in their ear. And the person that in their ear, it's going to be, ain't no listen but about it, it's going to be a close friend. It's going to be that uncle or that auntie that comes out of the woodwork when they think that these young people finna get some money. And they don't know anything about the industry, you know. They'll run and get an attorney. This here is going to be a real estate attorney. I got my criminal attorney. No, you need somebody that knows this business, you know.
My God, man. All you're doing is just bringing up a whole lot of memories of people that I've produced and worked with, and they get their cousin or their friend who's in the some form of legal business, but they don't understand the entertainment game. But furthermore, change the subject a little bit. You know what I recommend? I recommend, and this is what I probably start doing with artists, I'm going to have a test. You're going to have to take a test, okay? If you don't know these said 20 questions or whatever, I can't mess with you. Because, see, I don't care nothing about your talent. Because basically, go and throw your stuff on iTunes. Because that'll mean, and see, people think, well, I got a website. And I tell people, I said, you know, I come from an era, we didn't have no stinking website. Don't get me wrong, a website is wonderful. The problem is with a website is that if I don't know your address, it's just like your house. If I don't know your address, I don't know how to get there.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? So people say, well, I got a website. That's great. People say, I'm on iTunes. But if I don't have that information to get to you, then I won't be able to, hear your music. So the thing is that I think a lot of these young artists that I don't even really consider artists, because in my era, you're not an artist until you're getting paid.
Mm-hmm. Professional.
See, that's I was taught by the best, where once you get a check cut, then you're an artist. Now, but, you know, today people, I'm a CEO. They don't even understand what a CEO, the definition of a CEO. So it gets kind of nerve-wracking, because I think a lot of people put the cart before the horse. But back in our era, we had to pay our dues, and I respect paying my dues, because with that being said, I learned so much.
Right. And do you know that, I have to mention it, paying dues don't stop after you sign a contract. Just want to say that.
Yeah, and that's the problem. You know what I'm saying?
Once you sign your recording, like, you still paying dues. Learning what you didn't have to do, what you do have to do. You know what I'm saying? Where to look for the money at? You got to know. You got to even know what your pay sources are. You know where your benefits lie. But nobody's gonna really reveal that to you. You gotta dig and research on your own to find out what all it is and from what source that you have coming to you, or else you'll miss out on a whole bunch of what there is for you to reap.
I remember back in the day, you know what I mean, because see, my background is legals too, so that's where a lot of folks got me twisted. because they said, oh, he's an entertainer. He's, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, fine, but I'm book smart. So when I would read words like rebukable waivers, okay, folks don't know what that means. And right. I give a lot of respect to the great Dick Griffey, who I had on one of my television shows back in the day. And he was so excited about my music, but I wasn't trying to push my music. I was trying to push his record label and the group Shalimars and right. the Lakesides and the things that he did by bringing Soul Train to where it was by being the man who brought all those acts on. So it's kind of funny. So Dick, he heard some of my music, and he's like, oh, yeah, JR, I want to give you a distribution deal. Well, I'm not excited about no stinking distribution deal, okay, because distribution means my records are all over the universe, and I can't collect them.
That's right.
That means
that's what he wants to do for you.
Yeah, right. And then basically, you know, so I try to tell young artists in my own way, this business may not be for you. It'd probably be best that you get you education or a nice job. I didn't chase many women out of the game. I'm like, boo, this ain't for you because you got a misconception. I mean, you're pretty, nice body, you got little cute boys. But you ain't got the wherewithal to make it up in this game.
Right.
And you know, what it is the education is the part that's key for me. It's because it's what you don't know that can hurt you, you know. Nobody, they're not supposed to know coming, you know what I'm saying, you coming in and you got talent. You may be a genuine talent. There may be something that the world will long embrace you and everything else. Everybody's not a business. You know what I'm saying, minded person. I mean, you got artists. The word artist, it's like I'd say one of my biggest mentors, Leon Silvers, he's a genius, but
right.
It's not necessarily to be considered for the business part.
Right.
You know, because with all of his talent, he was able to get high up and out there, and to this day he's recognized. But we still struggle in certain ways because, you know, somebody else is collecting some of that money, you know, that should have been towards him, and you know what I'm saying, but he's a creative genius. And I came from that. Same thing goes for me. We were so busy creating and making the vehicles for, like, Shalimar and the Whispers and stuff, you know, where they went on to greatness. We fueled their careers.
Absolutely. Well, without guys that writing the songs like you did for the Whispers, Kevin, they may not have had the success that they had. And actually, you know, to further speak on that, you know, there are people that are just super talented. And from my own experiences, from the management side, I've managed several high-profile artists that were super talented, but they were mm-hmm. not business people. They were not
right.
business
right.
savvy.
And that's, you know what, while you mentioned that, Lamont, you and I had a discussion about that. I think that can be a key factor, too, for, you know, everybody's not suited to try to conduct their own business. They need somebody. And you won't be respected trying to be your own spokesman.
And the sooner in their career that they find that out, the better off they are, because you have some people out here, and I'm going to say, I'm not going to call them stupid, because stupid is unrepairable. I'm going to call
them ignorant. It's just ignorance.
They're ignorant. And they believe that they know and they understand, but the most ignorant person in the world is one that don't know what they don't know.
That's right. But let me jump in and say this.
Go ahead.
Let me jump in and say this here. In reference to the young people today, you're right. Everybody is not cut out as business-minded as some others. And matter of fact, my big brother Kevin touched on it earlier. You know, you come in as an artist. That's what you come in as an artist. So you, 9 times out of 10, not going to know certain aspects of business side. But now, JR taught on this part right here, respect. These young people today, if they can come in and this is strictly for my listeners, my young black brothers and sisters, if they learn to respect where this road that they're trying to journey on come from, because if they respect that, they will respect the one that laid it down. If you respect the one that laid it down, guess what? A phone call will work wonders for you. But when you're running around trying to get somebody that don't know no more than you know about the business, that creates a form of disrespect when you start believing that if they're wrong. I mean,
what
I'm
trying to say, man, I can't go next door neighbor and get the painter and tell him to manage me because he's a manager of the paint shop, man. Is that what you're selling me?
No, you
if
can't
you
want
to look back and curse what you could have been or should have been, if you cool. But I'm just saying, if we learn to respect the one that laid it down and we respect that knowledge, man, just like JR there and just like my big brother Kevin got all that knowledge, we got to learn to respect them. When we respect them, man, you got it right there at your fingertips, man. You're getting it from the professors. You're getting it from the creators, man. You see what I'm saying? But when you come in here, the attitude, you have no respect for business, number one. You have no respect for my office, number two. You see what I'm saying? You have no respect for the heritage that we created. That's why today the Rolling Stones, at 50 years in the business, when they perform, they're going to sell out that Coliseum. Why? Because they have, you got 10-year-old kids at their concert knowing who they are. Now, when our group, our answer to the Rolling Stones and the Beatles, the Temptation come, they're going to the Nokia Theater, and they're going to have five other groups with them, and it might sell it out. That's because we don't respect it. Younger people today don't respect where it comes from. When they hear the Temptations, oh, man, that's my grandmother. My granddaddy listened to that music, man. Do you know who the Temptations are? My granddaddy. So if you can't respect the root of it, if you don't know where the root comes from, how you going to abide as a branch if your root is dead?
Right, brother. And that,
so
that's like
to start
you're
with
saying,
respect.
Right there, what you're saying, brother, is really the source. And I'm just going to go back a little bit because I ain't tripping. Because I turned another year last Thursday, so I ain't tripping. I'm grateful for my age. But the point is this, and I tell these young people, I say, look here, when the 80s came around and they brought out the little samplers and people started sampling, that and they messed up the game. Because what had happened, and I tell them all, they stopped playing drums. When you stop playing drums, then it messed up what we had, what Motown had, what Philadelphia Sound had. We had them by the drums, okay? Although they was playing double drums, the white boys, they couldn't get our beat. So what Lindrum and all them did, they came in, they took that sound, and they started making it digitally easy for people. And now when people talk to me as a producer, they say, well, man, can you do a beat? I get insulted. I mean, it ain't a beat. I'm a composer, okay? Mm-hmm. So, you know, you're cheapening my history. So it kind of equates back to what you're saying, the lack of respect. And therefore, you don't know the history of this game, you know what I'm saying, but you're trying to get all up in my business, and I call the entertainment music business my business because I've been on this planet 56 years. So with that being said, that's over half of a century. And here you come, 22 years old, I got some shoes older than you, and you expect dollars. You expect millions of dollars, in which that's okay. Ain't nothing wrong with having that dream of whatever. But then go back to what I'm saying. You don't understand the formula of this game. And that kind of insults people who've been in the game, who paid their dues, brothers like Kevin Spencer, which is one of the greatest songwriters for Shalamar Whispers, Solar Records, really put Solar, him and Leon, they put Solar really on the map, in my opinion, as songwriters. But at the same token, if it was the same artist today, And they did the same thing Kevin Spencer did and Leon Silvers did. They getting more money. I know the root of the problem of what's going on with this industry. And no disrespect to the Jews, but what they did, they went to our kids.
Watch it, because I'm Jewish.
The folks who run the game, no disrespect to them, because you know I love them. I do business with everybody.
But what they did, they bypassed the history, they bypassed the wisdom, because they wanted to manipulate, the, as we all said, the ignorant, and some of them are stupid, Lamont, because they're greedy. See, when you work on greed and fame, and they dazzled them, they was dazzling those diamonds and those gold in front of everybody back
man,
in the late 80s.
Man, they took all that stuff back, JR. In case anybody noticed, we were talking about yesterday, diamonds are worthless.
Well, I mean, the whole thing is just...
Coats are worthless. They made all that stuff worthless when we started being able to afford it every day. And I mean me, when I say we, I mean the minorities, not the blacks.
Right. I mean, there's a value to everything, but what I'm getting at is that people got things misplaced. They use the value of material things over the fact that sometimes you just need to know the formula. See, if you don't know the formula, just like a lock, if you don't know the combination, then you're doodling to me. And I, you, and this other brother who's been in the game, we know who that person is, but you know what we do? We like, okay, I know you don't really know what you're doing, so I'm going to take a sincere interest in your program, because guess what? Somebody took a sincere interest in mine. But you know what they do? They don't respect the wisdom. They don't respect the knowledge.
10 points.
And I am so fed up with that. Like, for instance, I'm going to put you on blast, my cousin, who wrote Ice Ice Baby. And I said to him, I said, look, Mario, this is the deal, man. You ain't no singer. I'm a musician. I play 7 instruments. I sing 6 octaves. Yeah, I know, cuz. I said, but you just got up in the world, and now you writing, you're a good writer, and I get that to you. I said, but the problem is that, like my daddy taught me, money and a fool don't mix. So now you got all this money. Now you financing this, you doing that. And to be honest about it, my cousin's money helped Suge Knight and all them. You know what I'm saying? But now you sitting around here looking all crazy because you didn't understand the business. You got it too fast, too soon. Anybody get it too fast, too soon, it's like a cup with a hole in the bottom. And it kind of insults us because we put in a lot of years, player, a lot of years, and they getting multiple dollars, and like you said, Lamont, but they getting it back because first thing they do, they get some of your folks, Lamont, I'm going to give me a Jew attorney, I'm going to give me an agent, and guess what them agents do? Just like our ball players, they sick them Caucasian girls on them, and they get the money back. And then back at the ranch, when I say, man, can you read music? No. Okay, well, I ain't going to trip on that. Well, do you understand the business? Well, man, no, that's why I got you for. But I like my brother was just saying, James, well, I need all my publishers. I'm like, man, nobody gets all their publishers.
They don't even know what that means. They don't even know what that means. And that's the part of it. They do not do their due diligence. They do not understand the business.
And a whole bunch of responsibility comes with administrating, publishing.
Yes.
Man, the IRS will be getting all your publishing, so-called publishing money, if you don't do the right thing. And you know what I'm saying? It is.
I spoke at a music conference, Kevin, and I asked how many people that were in attendance that knew what ISRC code was.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know I got 2 hands out of maybe 150 people?
And I'm like,
how do you guys expect to get paid? You don't even know how tracking your music works. Everybody wants to get a song released on iTunes, but how do you track the sales?
Mm-hmm.
You don't even know what this is.
They don't know. So maybe some of us who still left here, as I indicated, maybe we need to, just like a job. I really feel this from my heart. You got to fill out the application, but you got to take this test, player, before I put $1 in you, before I spend $1 in the studio with you, okay? You got to pass this test.
In case you don't know, and I'm going to introduce this point right here, they went past the test, homie. The test now is coming to the table with your dollars. That's the test. because
no.
The labels are not putting up dollars first anymore. That's done.
No. That's what I'm saying. In other words, if I put my dollars out anymore, and I put out a lot of monies, you know, for artists, you know, and basically at this particular juncture, because I see their disrespectful, like my brother was saying, cocky and greedy. Well, then you're going to have to go through some loops because y'all didn't pay no damn dues no way. So with that being said, I want to know what kind of knowledge you got up in this game. You know, what is a barcode? You know, what is publishing, et cetera, et cetera. And if you can't answer that one of them questions, I don't care if you got the greatest music out there. You know what I'm saying? Because I ain't greedy. What you trying to get, I done had that. You know what I mean? But I want to make sure, for one, you know, as a producer, as a CEO of a record label, whatever, you know what people look for? They look for loyalty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I can guarantee out of all three of you brothers, y'all been deflated by a lack of loyalty. Okay.
To be loyal to somebody is, you know, when we talk about the respect and the loyalty, as I remember, ain't them like a basic things that you learn, like in your upbringing, you've been raised and you're respectful. And you learn about
baby boomers learn that, Kevin. The kids in our era learn that. We come from that era when your neighbors could whoop your ass if you was out of line, and your parents would whoop your ass too. Now the new thing is, you better not touch my kid, even if you save that kid's life.
That's true. Mm-hmm. That's true. Right. Touching on what he said about the loyalty, you know, that's certainly no loyalty in this business anymore. And if it is, it's such a small amount, and I know that it is from here because, you see, you still got some legends around, and legends knows how to give respect and loyalty. Now, check this here out. Now, I have what is called the Legendary Unlimited Break Talent Show. I only sign people to my label off of my showcase, and they go through a ticket sales in order to get to the showcase, but after that, I put in all the money if I sign them. Well, I just signed this one group off of my showcase, and I call the name Collectors, right? But now check it out. We in the studio making up the album. Now, you don't just make an album, and that's another thing. They don't appreciate having authenticity in your work and taking pride in your work. They want to go into the studio, and one night they want to lay down an album simply because they figured, I don't have to know how to read music. I don't have to know how to play music. I just get here to my keyboard and fiddle with this here, and that sounds good. They don't know anything about mastering or anything. They just think you record it right there and you take it.
You're talking about the work ethic.
Yeah. So not only do I sign these guys, not only do they not have any loyalty or any respect, you know, it's kind of like rush. Now, while we're in the studio getting this album together, so we go it on and we let them lay it down and we exclude them from it. From there, we just do the mixing and stuff, right? Now, while we were mixing the album, now our contract will expire, right? But yet still, I figured we got a rider. We'll go it on and I'll do up these kids and get together. But now, being an independent label, we want to try to start building what is known to us as following. You got to build a following for you if you want to sell your units and stuff, you know, independently, that is. So we're going to go it on and finish mixing it down. At the same time, as the producers are mixing your album down, I'm going to go out here and set up a few gigs and stuff like that to start building up some notoriety for you, okay? Well, get this here out. These guys don't even want to pass out one flyer. I put the money into the flyer, putting a picture over it and everything, having it made up, but they don't even want to pass out one flyer.
For their own good?
You're supposed to hire a street team for them. Don't you know that?
Yeah, so check this out. But now here go the insult right here. Now, our contract has expired. Now, I know I have the right to go it on and renew it with an extra 3 years.
You know,
I'm not going to do that. Yeah, so now check this here out. The album is not out. I tell them the album will be out next month. You know what they're going to call me up last night on the phone? Hey, this guy that we know want us to do, he's from New York, he want us to do a show. So we want to know if we can come into the studio and pick 3 songs off the album that we can do at the show. Do that?
Wow.
At
that point, the message belongs to you. So, I mean, you know, you're the only person that they could get the permission.
Right, but what I'm saying is we're not even through.
Say it, James. Check this out. And then I'm going to say this, and I'm going to be brief on it. This is what I was taught, and I just thank God that I was around Berry Gordy and Smokey. I'm going to write a movie. I'm going to write a book on it. I'm going to call it I Was a Fly on the Wall of Motown because I was very blessed. And what I've learned being in that era coming out of Detroit or whatever is this. They wasn't tripping off all that. You know, when you make, you know, I tell these artists today, and it's still today, you make your money doing shows, pimping. Okay, the record was just a flyer. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
It was, you know, you get
like
the royalties. When we were doing records, the records has been around for a little over 100 years, okay? So the music has been around forever. So people make their money off of touring. And I tell artists, I say, you know, you tripping. We done finished up the music, just like James said, but you ain't willing to go out and to promote your record by doing shows, and then you looking for residual monies from the record sales. That don't happen overnight, player. Okay, one is even if you made a lot of money, if you sold a lot of records, okay, you got to factor in returns, which means some of the records came off the pressing plant, they were warped or whatever, or some of the one stops or whatever distributors didn't move any of the records.
Yeah,
and they said,
well,
got
the
whole record on the wall. I said, yeah, because RIA, they pressed up 500,000 records. So anybody who gets 500,000 records pressed, they get a gold record. That don't mean you sold 500,000.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you know what, man? That's way over all in my area of expertise. But, man, people just don't understand the element. They don't even get to that because they don't understand branding, which James was speaking on as the following, but we like to call it branding now. You have to brand yourself. You have to be known. If you're not known, you can't get shows nowhere. Nobody's going to pay you. Because they contact me all the time. Hey, man, you know where I can get a paid show? Who going to pay you? Don't nobody know you?
Well, that's because, you see, here's the thing. You say the industry. And, you see, when these young people hear industry, they only hear record labels. But, you see, the industry, the entertainment industry, the music industry consists of more than just that record label, man. It consists of the radio stations. It consists of the nightclubs. It consists of a host of things, no appearances.
That's right. That's right. Go ahead, please.
Right, and these nightclubs are changing too, just like record companies. I mean, come on, you guys. In our time, it used to be okay. You get yourself a band and you go audition for a club or something to appear in a club, and the club is gonna pay you money. All they want to know is what type of following you have. In other words, how many people are you gonna bring to my club that's gonna patronize my club?
Exactly.
I got this many people that's going to be coming. They said, we got this many people that follow us. He said, okay, well, I'm going to sell this many drinks right here, and we're going to have a little prize at the door and stuff. I'm going to pay you this much right here, you know, and that's called paying the dandy. But now today, these young people, they done messed the clubs up because they go to clubs, and they just want to show up. They got no following, and when they go in, they talk a pretty good game, and some of them, they say technology, so they handle with making these little bitty bowels up and giving them to the club manager. And when you show up, the night is over with, the club's sitting there looking at a bar tab that they owe, not that they earned, and they said, I thought you had some people coming. Well, hey, man, we did real good. We had about end of the bar, and our music was right and everything, you know. So what the clubs do now, they tell you, hey, look, man, you don't come into this club talking about how much we're going to pay you. So what you have to do today is you have to buy time in a club. You buy 40-minute slots. They give you tickets, man, and you can sell those to your people and get your money back. Or you're going to have to guarantee them so many drinks at that bar. And if they don't make it by the end of that night, you will make up the lost cause for it. So, you know, the industry is changing all over.
Well, yes, sir. Especially down there in Hollywood, because I used to, Carlos and Charlie's, I don't know if y'all remember that, but I had that joint, you know, for quite some time. And then I remember coming back from Detroit, coming back to California. The whole game had changed. Whiskey's was telling the artist, look, you hear these tickets. And, you know, I got insulted. You know, I'm like, ain't nobody going to be paying the damn play. Okay, but the thing is, I mean, that's some crazy mess. I mean, but I ain't mad at them, though, because they like, well, we got a liquor license, you know, we ain't making no damn money. And everybody, all these young kids, our little kids, our children, our nephews, you know, they you know, this damn TV, this video stuff kind of misconstrued them. Is this,
yeah,
this bling got them all misconstrued.
And not only that, our young black people, strictly for my listeners, our young black people, they can't even go no darn well and perform because, number one, the average club that's established that got something going, I don't want the hip-hop. So they outlet. They
hey,
outlet
y'all
fast.
Are in L.A., let me say this to you. I'm out in Vegas. In L.A.,
okay.
I've been hearing for the last 5-10 years that the liability insurance is so high. You know what I mean? You got places like some of these big promoting agencies. They're not really messing with a lot of the hip-hop because the insurance is too high. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's another fact. So, but you know what they're doing now? They're coming back to us. History is repeating itself. It's done a 360. They need good R&B, good gospel, good wholesome music, and guess what? Our kids don't even know how to play it. I got a little boy, which technically should be my grandson. He's 13 years old. He's like, yeah, Dad, I want to do music. I'm like, okay, ain't nothing wrong with that, but you're going to have to learn how to play.
Yeah,
I ain't going to have you sampling and stuff, stealing people's ideas, loopity-looping. Talking about, and then got to her dad's and he talking about, hey, man, I produced this. You ain't produced nothing. Don't get me wrong. You might have probably put it together. I give you credit for mix-matching stuff. That's all you're doing is mixing and matching. But if I had to chart it out, it ain't music.
That's right.
Can't sell no lead sheets.
And you know, so, the thing about it is, Lamont, one great thing that Lamont used to do is that seminar. And I think that it's much needed. It's much needed for our young people. And I think that once, before you do that seminar, I think that you need to make a speech to let them know the reason of this seminar. And you need to take a pen and you need to burst some of them heads, you know, because some of them coming in with these big heads, you know, I'm on YouTube. I got so many downloads, and as my big brother Kevin say, yeah, you on YouTube, you got so many downloads, but how many units have you sold, you know? So these young people, they need to get the maximum out of these seminars that they can, but it's also up to the presenters of those seminars to really, really kind of like put it out there in their face to where it jar them to reality, that this is where you can make a change for the better in your career, where you can achieve some knowledge to where you won't just have so many views on YouTube. You can have some downloads which transcend into some dollars.
Well, that right there is a scam because, you know, a brother just told me the other day, I'm like, yeah, man, I just got like 100,000 hits. And I got a psychology degree. I said, yeah, brother, I feel you. I went up and I listened to your boy singing a cappella out of key. What happened, player? You bought those hits. You got all quiet. Oh, because you can buy some hits, okay, that, and then you can sanitize it and fakerize it, but when it all boils down to it, like you said, you ain't pushed no units. So it's got a balance. It's got to be like like the bank. You do the credits before the debits. If I don't see that you sold like units, I don't see no downloads. If your downloads ain't like 30,000 and your hits is like 105,000 or whatever, then you ain't doing nothing for me. You're lying.
Yeah, I hate to cut you off, player, but I know you could go. But anyway, we down like to our last 30, 40 seconds of the show, man, and we're going to have to definitely come back again and do, you know, a part two of this because I know it's a lot.
Scratching the surface. You're just now scratching the surface.
Didn't get a chance to say. So definitely I want to thank you, gentlemen, James, for everybody coming through, and hopefully we get a chance to pick this up again and do a part two on this show, man, because a lot of good, wealthy points. But
well, next time I come on your show, you better have 3 hours.
I know.
I know we got to go, man. But for them young people that's listening, man, learn the game. Give yourself a chance. Learn what it takes.
Just a little patience. Don't be so interested in trying to make money, because you're going to make money if God wants you to make money. Learn the history.
Okay. That's right.
All righty then. That's the World Movement thing, y'all. www.worldmovement.com.
Focus, baby, you just focus, cause they try to bring you down, but they can't, and they know this. That ride is black, is showing, them drugs you got is potent, got them cheering at my shows in. I say stop, but you keep going, that money that I'm blowing, if you want it, you should show it.
Now everybody trying to hit me up, if you stressed then turn that ditty up. And just
stay posted, see this girl to notice. Now that baby girl just focus, see you trying to get promoted. Nah, life short, yeah you need to live it to the fullest. I'll show you how to do this. Just don't be so foolish, if you focus you could do it. Just make sure you're into it, yeah, just like your crew is chillin', cause we are the coolest. Keep doing your thing, my dream was to be in that range. My attitude's sane, and I won't change best of the best like imported cocaine.
Now everybody tryna hit me up, if you stressed then turn that ditty up. And just
stay posted, see this girl to notice. Now that baby girl just focus, see you trying to get promoted. Nah, stay posted, see this girl to notice. Now that baby girl just focus, see you trying to get promoted. Nah,
everybody trying to hit me up, if you stressed then turn that ditty up, and just
focus, baby just focus.